with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Wildfires are still burning today in New Mexico and Arizona, where weather conditions in both states have helped fuel the spread of the blazes. Arizona's Aspen Fire now covers more than 30,000 acres, but firefighters did report some progress yesterday when the heavy winds of the previous few days died down. Officials say a second fire now burning in New Mexico, meanwhile, may have been caused by arson, while fireworks may have sparked another fire that began earlier near Albuquerque. Congress continues today reviewing pre-war intelligence on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Earlier today, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist defended the administration's claims on the Today Show. He said intelligence is an inexact science.
We have very good intelligence in this country today. It can always be improved. We made decisions, the administration made decisions, based on the very best intelligence that we have.
Since President Bush declared an end to major combat operations roughly 2 months ago, no weapons of mass destruction have been uncovered in Iraq, despite the imminent threat the president used as his excuse to go to war. Palestinian President Yasser Arafat earlier said he does expect an announcement sometime today. Militants have agreed to stop their attacks on Israelis. Nabil Abu Erdane, a senior advisor to Arafat, says while a deal is within reach, it's still up to the Israelis as well to stop the violence on their part.
We are on the verge of arriving to a ceasefire, but the Israelis are doing all their best to ruin that ceasefire. We hope that the Americans would interfere and urge the Israelis to stop their aggression.
A top Islamic Jihad official says he's still waiting for input from what he calls his fighters in the field, as well as those still held in Israeli prisons, and warned that may take time. A Hamas leader said his group's decision on a truce would be announced in the coming days. Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas has said he doesn't intend to confront the extremists, but hopes to convince them to accept the ceasefire. More bloodshed, meanwhile, erupted today, further dimming hopes of implementing the latest U.S.-backed peace plan. An Arab youth fatally shot an Israeli security guard in a town near the West Bank.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it. Wherever you are, Allivert, use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Good news on the jobless front today, with numbers from the Labor Department showing first-time unemployment claims dropping to a three-month low last week. Initial claims for the week ending June 21st fell by 22,000 to 404,000. Analysts were expecting jobless claims only to fall to 415,000. The nation's gross domestic product grew at a revised rate of 1.4% in the first quarter. The Commerce Department says that's a downward revision from the 1.9% estimated about a month ago. First quarter GDP also matched the slow growth of 2002's final quarter.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Iran is blasting comments from British Prime Minister Tony Blair supporting recent student protests against that country's clerical regime. Officials have already also complained about similar remarks made by President Bush. The story from Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi.
The Iranian Foreign Ministry has called in the British ambassador in Tehran, Richard Dalton, to verbally protest Tony Blair's remarks. Mr. Blair had said the recent demonstrations in Iran deserved Britain's support. Iran State TV reports Tehran believes Blair's comments constitute meddling in Iran's domestic affairs. And news reports say an Iranian official told the ambassador that the prime minister's remarks were out of line with Britain's declared policy of non-interference in Iran's internal affairs. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
And the husband of former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher died today at the age of 88. Her private office says Sir Dennis Thatcher died peacefully at a London hospital, surrounded by family and friends. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this, a toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Program today, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from west to east, north to south on the Sirius satellite radio system, broadcasting from the depths of outer space. Our standard radio equipment on Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and Jaguar automobiles. And they now have a home unit. And streaming live on the Internet from RadioPower.org and IEAmericaRadio.com and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. On the web, this is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. The High Court today, the Supreme Court, just moments ago handed down its decision in the Caskey versus Nike case. In that case, you'll recall, Nike had, originally what had happened was Nike was being attacked from many different quarters for their sweatshop labor practices, and or the practices actually of their subcontractors. Nike doesn't actually own any of those factories; they deal with subcontractors, and who were alleging everything from rape and torture and sexual abuse of their employees to 14-hour days and low pay and all sorts of. Some claims made were wild; some were apparently legitimate. Programs went over, news programs went over to Asia and checked this stuff out. And Nike started a PR campaign claiming that they had cleaned this stuff up, that everything was just fine and that they were a good corporate citizen. And a guy named Mark Caskey, who's a consumer activist in California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, thought that they were not telling the truth. And there's a law in California that says that in commercial speech, a corporation has to tell the truth. So he sued them. And Nike responded by saying that as a corporation, based on the 1886 misread of the Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad case, the headnotes in that case, written by John Chandler Bancroft Davis, that because of that case, they were a person. They had rights under the Bill of Rights as a corporation. And therefore, they had First Amendment rights of free speech, and the free speech includes the right to lie. The California Supreme Court said, no, we don't think so.
Actually, a lower court agreed with Nike, but then Caskey took it to the Supreme Court in California. California Supreme Court said basically that anything a corporation does is commercial speech. No matter what they do. I mean, if they give money to a local community center, that's commercial speech because they hope to have some benefit out of it, even if it's just a better image, which will cause people to want to buy their products. It has to help their profits. And the bottom line is that by law, everything a corporation does has to further the interests of the corporate stockholders. It has to enhance shareholder value, or else the corporate officers are breaking the law. So anyhow, this was the position of the California Supreme Court, and so Nike took this to the United States Supreme Court, and the United States Supreme Court chose not to choose. The arguments before the court were, on the one hand, corporations should have the right to lie, they should have First Amendment protections, and on the other hand, a corporation is an artificial entity, it's not a person, it shouldn't have Bill of Rights protections. And beyond that, perhaps most importantly, anything that a corporation does is commercial speech by definition. Well, the Supreme Court declined to rule in either direction on what this news release here from Reuters, just from half hour ago, says were technical reasons. And I believe we're going to have tomorrow one of the lawyers who argued this case before the Supreme Court on the program. We'll find out what the details of that are, what those technical reasons are. It's going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to be an interesting case. Here's an interesting example of news spinning from today's newspaper. Our question, by the way, for this hour, as a culture, if we discover the secret of enough, will we all become richer? And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a conservative guest on from the Ayn Rand Institute talking about how the wealthy should get tax breaks. It's their money. They earned it. They should keep it is going to be his position, I would suggest. And I'm saying something different, and we'll get to that. The 400 wealthiest taxpayers accounted for more than 1% of all the income in the United States in the year 2000. This from a New York Times News Service story that we picked up here at the Burlington Free Press, a Gannett paper in Burlington, Vermont. The article goes on to say that the average income of the 400 wealthiest taxpayers was $174 million each in the year 2000. And it points out that their tax bills grew, that they paid 1% of all taxes, the top 400 in 1992, to 1.6% in 2000. So they paid, these top 400 people paid a higher percentage of income taxes of all taxes. And so they say their average tax bills were $38.6 million. And this article says, and I quote, "Those same numbers can be read to show that the wealthiest as a group bore a disproportionate share of the overall tax burden, 1.6% of all taxes versus just 1.1% of all income, evidence that all sides in the tax debate will be able to find ammunition in the new data," end quote. Well, in fact, the reason why they're paying more as a share of taxes is because their wealth went up mind-bogglingly. Their wealth quadrupled from 1992. It was an average of $46.8 million. It's now an average of $174 million. So their income quadrupled, and their tax, the total percentage of tax that they pay, went from 1% to 1.6%, not from 1% to 4%. However, that's not the story you will get from Rush Limbaugh, I guarantee. And here's the other gotcha. This was in the Wall Street Journal, of course, where they're talking to themselves. They're a little more candid. And this is the story that you won't hear in most of the news services. And that is that $174 million average income, and that's income for the top 400 taxpayers in the United States, quote, doesn't include tax-exempt interest income from state and local government bonds. Now, this is probably the largest form of income that the most wealthy in this country get, is tax-free income from government bonds. It's a huge part of George W. Bush's portfolio, for example. Also, the AGI figure is after deducting numerous items such as the self-employed health insurance deduction. So, in other words, these folks get to have all kinds of tax deductions that you and I don't have. You can't deduct your health insurance, for example. They can. You can't not have investments or have your income not be considered taxable. They can. And so it's just, you know, this is, we know how the conservatives are going to spin this. The cons are going to say, oh, no, look at this. These people are paying more taxes now as a percentage of overall taxes than they were 10 years ago. At 1.6% instead of 1%. Look at, isn't that terrible? These same top 400 people. But the fact is that their income has gone up 400%. Anyway, the secret of enough. First, the truth. I want to share this as a way of defining the difference between what I think are what some would call the conservative worldview or the neoconservative worldview, this idea that it's a jungle out there, it's every man for himself, it's, you know, get what you can, if you don't earn it, you don't deserve it, versus what some would call the liberal or progressive worldview, which suggests that there is something more important than just money, and that has to do with quality of life. And quality of life has to do with the way that we organize a society. For example, Henry Ford, our quote for the day, said, "It's easy to make a buck. It's a lot tougher to make a difference. A business that makes nothing but money is a poor business." End of quote. So first, the truth. If you are naked, cold, and hungry, and somehow you get shelter, clothing, and food, you'll feel better. Providing for these necessities creates a qualitative change in your life, and even could be said in some way to produce happiness. You feel comfortable and safe. Your internal state, your state of mind and emotional sense of well-being, has improved as a result of these external changes in the circumstances of your body. In other words, you've gotten some stuff. You now have food, you now have a place to sleep, you're not outside cold, naked, alone at night in the woods. You know, somebody brings you, and you feel better. Now, the lie, that's the truth. Now, here's the lie. The lie is, if some stuff will make you happy, then twice as much stuff will make you twice as happy, 10 times as much stuff will make you 10 times as happy, 1,000 times as much stuff will make you 1,000 times as happy, 1,000,000,000 times as much stuff will make you 1,000,000,000 times as happy, and Bill Gates lives in a state of perpetual bliss. Ain't true. It ain't true. And I talked to anybody who lived through the Great Depression successfully. And though there was my wife's grandmother, who just died last year at the age of 95, had a farm in Michigan through the Great Depression. And to the day she died, even though she had a couple $100,000 in the bank from selling the farm a few years back, she bought 2 dresses every year from Sears. She washed her hair in rainwater. She lived very frugally, and it was enough for her. She was quite content with her life. She didn't feel the need to go out and get stuff in order to get happy. Now, of course, we've got stories like Howard Hughes, you know, compulsive acquirers. People who have millions or tens of millions or hundreds of millions, and it's not enough. They've got to have more. I would suggest to you, based on having known actually, several of these people, of these types of people. I'm talking not about well-off people. We're talking about mind-bogglingly rich people who are continuing to aggressively acquire. That this is, if not fully, at least on the edge, of a mental disorder. It's a variation, in my opinion, of obsessive-compulsive disorder. They get so locked into this, so sucked into this thing, and it's just more, more, more. Greed is good, yeah, more, more, more. And it destroys their lives. I remember a friend of mine in Chicago who is a CPA and heads up a $400 million investment fund right now, who used to be an auditor with the IRS, who told me that he used to audit, when he worked for the IRS, the ultra-wealthy. And he said the most interesting thing that he had noticed was that those people who went from being moderately wealthy to incredibly wealthy relatively quickly, either by virtue of inheritance or good luck in business or winning a lottery, that they never recovered from it. It threw them into a depression. He said some of them were some of the most depressed people he knew. But nonetheless, this is the myth of our culture, that we acquire happiness through getting stuff. Now, the myth of older cultures, of tribal cultures, is that the purpose of society is not to provide a structure within which people can get stuff, but rather the purpose of society is to provide a structure in which everybody is protected. Now, I don't mean this literally in the Marxian sense of to each according to his needs and from each according to his abilities, but rather that there is some basic ground, some basic threshold that we agree everybody should start at there should be an even starting point. And that from that starting point, then people can compete, people can work to get what they want. I'm going to get into this in a little more detail right after this break. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad.
I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the June Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you've got a paint project, come in today and get top quality Ace Royal Shield Satin House and Trim Paint for only $16.99 a gallon, our lowest price of the year. And not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of June. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you abandon your country, moving your home base to another land in order to dodge paying the taxes you owe to America, would you still have the chutzpah to expect U.S. taxpayers to finance you? No? Well, that's probably because your parents raised you better, or because you're a loyal American, or maybe it's because you're not an arrogant, avaricious global greedhead like Accenture or Ingersoll Rand. They are among dozens of U.S. firms that have shifted their official corporate headquarters to offshore tax havens like Bermuda, using a loophole that allows them to skip out on some $4 billion a year on U.S. taxes they owe, yet then turn around and bill us taxpayers for $1 billion worth of government work. For example, Accenture, the huge consulting firm that was created by the Sharpies that ran the scandal-ridden Arthur Andersen accounting firm, lists its corporate address as Bermuda so it can shirk federal income taxes even though it makes most of its money here. Accenture wants all of the benefits of citizenship in the good old USA, but without having to pay its way. That's shameful enough, but then these leeches want our government to provide business for them. Accenture grabbed $662 million in federal contracts last year alone. If they're skipping out on paying their taxes, why should a dime of your and my tax money go to them? Twice, the U.S. Senate has passed bills saying no more federal contracts should go to these corporate deadbeats. But twice, the Bushites and the House leaders have killed the bills. The runaway corporations not only are major campaign donors to the GOP, but they've also hired a powerhouse lobbying team that includes two former senators and two former House members who were top committee chairmen. This is Jim Hightower saying, instead of paying a bunch of Gucci-clad lobbyists, they should pay their taxes to our country. Representative Richard Neal has a bill to bring these tax dodgers home. To back it, call Neal's office, 202-225-5601.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
what's going on? You've been away for far too long. You can't come
and welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle here today. We're talking about what is the balance, what is the purpose of society? You know, some folks say, well, people can get rich or not rich, people can, and it's as if the market exists in a vacuum. The market does not exist in a vacuum. The market is an abstraction, and it exists as a consequence of government, that is, you and I, we the people, getting together and defining the parameters of it. We decide what will be allowed. Will it be allowed that people can own things? Will it be allowed that people can will things? Will it be allowed that people can aggregate together to form corporations? What will be allowed? We define the rules of the game. And then we provide, we the people, provide the infrastructure in which the game can be played. We provide the schools to provide an educated workforce. We provide the streets so that people can get transportation to and from their place of employment. We provide public transportation systems. We provide the air traffic control system for our aircraft. We provide and organize the airwaves for broadcasting and for information. Our question, as a culture, if we discover the secret of enough, will we all become richer? We define the game. And then the cheap labor conservatives come along and say, well, we should ignore all that stuff. All those things that help businesses succeed, all the infrastructure that's provided, and just do the things that are going to make people more and more afraid, more and more terrified, more and more vulnerable, so that they will work for less and less money. I'm telling you, the bottom line here of all conservative philosophy, and you really can boil it down to this. In fact, if you can think of any aspect of it that you can't boil down to this, I'd love to hear it, is cheap labor. It all boils down to cheap labor. Great website about this, by the way. I don't have the notes here. I'll share it with you later on in the hour. It must be in my second or third hour folder. But that's what it boils down to. So now, in our society, we've got this idea that what we do all day long is we make things. We work, make goods and services. And then, in order to derive our happiness, to have our quality of life, we consume things. So we've got a production consumption based, not just economy, but culture. If you look at older cultures, the cultures that every single one of our ancestors lived in for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years, what you find that what those cultures made, what people did all day long, the product of those cultures was not stuff, but rather was safety and security. That the first priority was to make sure that everybody had safety and security. Everybody had a place to sleep. Everybody had food available to them. Everybody had medical care available to them. Everybody had the basic necessities of life. And once those were provided for, then the shaman could go off and have his trance states, and the potter could go off and make their pots, and the clothing person could go off and make clothing, and the warriors could go off and have their wars. Everybody could do whatever they wanted. But the first goal of society, of organized living together, was to make sure that those needs were taken care of. And this isn't just a human thing, by the way. You find this among every social animal, which is virtually every mammal, that the job of a society, of a culture, its first job, is to make sure that there's a safe starting point. And then step off from that. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Employees of the Baltimore Sun with the Washington Baltimore Newspaper Guild have a new contract today. By a vote of 319 to 102, the Guild's writers, advertising, and maintenance workers voted to accept the four-year contract, but not before approving a statement condemning their newspaper's parent corporation, the Tribune Company, for bad faith bargaining and union-busting activity. The new contract comes with a $1,500 signing bonus and will give workers a $24 a week raise in its second year, but it also gives the newspaper the ability to transfer employees into new positions without their consent, and it gives the paper newfound power to outsource certain jobs and to hire non-union workers.
Even though Nigeria has vast quantities of oil, most of it is exported by multinational companies for sale on the world market. Nigeria regularly faces fuel shortages as a result, and the government is seeking to tackle the problem by jacking up the price of petroleum to discourage use. A recent decision to raise prices by some 54% has set the populace on edge, and now Nigeria's main confederation of trade unions is calling for a general strike to begin on Monday to protest the price rises. This will likely curtail petroleum production in the world's fifth most oil-rich country.
It's Christmas in June for farmworker Tolentino Martinez. The Mexican farmworker picked tomatoes in California's fields during the 1970s, where he contributed to the United Farm Workers Pension Fund. Martinez forgot about the pension, but his daughter contacted the union to see if he was eligible to receive benefits. He was, and this week Martinez collected a check for $42,000 in back pension pay. The United Farm Workers Union is still trying to locate about 1,000 retired farm workers who are still owed pensions from their time in California's fields.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast and all the way from outer space. Here on the no political context implied there. We're on channel 145 of the Sirius satellite, as well as on terrestrial radio stations all across the United States, and streaming live from the internet. By the way, if you'd like to be in our chat room, we've got a lively conversation going on in there. Just go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on the button that says chat room. And it'll take you to the trade forum. Click on the chat button, and it'll drop you in there. We've been talking about what is the meaning of culture? What is the purpose of accumulating wealth? How does society work together to organize these kinds of things? Edwin A. Locke is a professor of management emeritus at the University of Maryland at College Park and a senior writer for the Ayn Rand Institute in Irvine, California. That institute promotes the philosophy of Ayn Rand, author of Atlas Shrugged, The Fountainhead, and many other works, many other essays in particular. And you can find it at aynrand.org. Mr. Locke, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
This is Edwin Locke?
Yes, it is.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I'm pleased to have you on. Now, I understand that your position, well, first of all, let me just, there was in today's news, rats, I've lost it. Anyway, your position was that the wealthier someone is, the more tax cut they should have. Tell me about this. Oh, here, I just found this. According to this computation that was done of the changes in taxes and tax shares under the first three Bush tax cuts, by 2010, the lowest 20% in America will pay 0.1% more tax than they do now. The second 20% will pay 0.1% more tax than they do now. The middle 20% will pay 0.7% more tax than they do now. The fourth 20% will pay 1.5% more tax than they do now. The next 15% will pay 1.4% more than they do now. The top 4% will pay 1% less, and the top 1% will pay 2.7% less than they do now. And you're of the opinion that that's a good thing.
Well, I think it should be more extreme because if you look at the figures, for instance, the top 5% of families get 28% of the total family income, and they pay 50% of the total taxes.
No, they pay 50% of the total income taxes.
Income
a huge
taxes.
Difference.
For the top 1%, they get 14% of the total family income. They pay almost 30% of the total income tax bill. So my opinion is they're the most exploited people in society, and they should get the biggest tax break. Although I've been reading recently that even the tax break for the rich actually is partly phony because there's a concept called the minimum tax.
And for many
of those, when this tax break comes in, the minimum tax will cut in. And I saw some figures calculated that many wealthy taxpayers will actually pay more after this tax cut. So it's partly a phony tax cut. But I believe in reality they should have the biggest tax cut because they're the most exploited people in society.
Can you explain to me how these exploited people who are, let's take somebody who's earning, say, $260 million a year, $1 million a day.
Mm-hmm.
How is that person working proportionally that much harder than somebody who is out, an employee of the city, digging the water pipe ditches for your community to provide you with water that you can drink?
Well, it's a Marxist view to think that wealth is the creation of physical effort alone. Primarily, wealth is created by the mind, by reason, by intelligence, and by the quality and type of work you do. So it's much, much more fundamental than brute physical labor. Chinese communists used brute physical labor with 1 billion laborers, and they were living as one of the poorest countries in the world because they were, of course, under dictatorship. So wealth is creation of the mind primarily. Obviously, physical action is required too. But the person who runs a business that employs 300,000 people is making, let's say they're making $1 billion a year, somebody like Bill Gates. Well, remember, they're making jobs for 300,000 people. I'm just making that number up. I don't know the exact number. And they're producing products that make the lives of millions of people better. So, and they're doing it by voluntary trade, not by theft. So they deserve what they get.
How could that person, let's say take Bill Gates, for example, how could he make any money at all if he didn't have people producing labor?
He couldn't make any money, but the company itself
then
wouldn't
he is
exist
making
at all.
Money from labor.
The company itself couldn't even exist except for his genius. There wouldn't be any Microsoft. So, yes, he has to have people working for him, but without the guidance of visionary intelligence, businesses like that would never be formed and could never survive long range, and that's why the people at the top deserve the biggest salaries.
Okay. If people would like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. We have a system, Mr. Locke, in the United States, and you know, the free enterprise system, that, as you said, to a large extent rewards intellectual capital. But it is just that. It's a system. It doesn't represent any absolute, although I suppose you probably think it does. But,
yes.
But we have organized... We have organized ourselves in a way to advance that system. We, as a society, we pay for public education, for example, to provide for a workforce so that Bill Gates can have these people work for him and he can make his money. We pay for, as a society, for the streets so that those people who work for Bill Gates can get to work and make him money. We pay, as a society, we support mortgages, for example, so those people can have homes that they live in more inexpensively so that they can go work for Bill Gates and make more money. It sounds like what you're suggesting is that it is entirely appropriate that we establish and set up a system where a narrow range of skills, business skills, get absolutely rewarded, and a wide range of other skills, the arts, the ability, the physical labor, that a wide range of other skills aren't rewarded as well. Am I correctly understanding what you're saying?
The system is really a system of freedom, which means that people deal with one another by voluntary trade, not by coercion. Now, if it's the case that people are more willing to pay for Windows software than for a symphony, that's not unjust in the context of everyone having the choice to use their money as they see fit. I think in a wealthy society there would be ample support for artists, too, because if they put out real valuable art instead of junk, like a lot of them put out, and they played beautiful music, there would be people who want to go see that, and there would be rich people who are willing to donate the money. But
so you're suggesting that we should have a society of haves and have-nots, that it's entirely appropriate that there be a one, that we have a multi-class society.
No, because in a free society, the poor people are far more wealthy than in a coercive egalitarian society. Look at the production under communism, where everyone was allegedly equal other than the Communist Party. Everybody was poor.
I don't think
everyone lived at a low level.
Nobody thinks that what is called modern communism, everybody was equal. It was a tyranny of the bureaucrats. I mean, this was...
So in a free society, the poor... will benefit if the wealthy are left free to produce and are not penalized for their ability, because it's the wealthy and able that will provide jobs for the poor.
And so you're assuming that everybody who's providing a job is honest, wealthy, and able.
Well, if they're dishonest, they should be prosecuted and sent to jail. Fraud should be completely disallowed in any capitalist system, just like physical force should be disallowed.
Okay, so then you have somebody who has to administer whether there's fraud or not. That person is working for the government.
That's called the government.
Right, and that person is working for the government, and they're a civil service employee. And let's say that they can only make $60,000 or $70,000 a year. Their ability to earn a living is capped. Why should their ability to earn a living be capped any more or less than me as an entrepreneur?
Why should it be capped?
Yeah.
The government would have to hire people from the free market to get people working for them, and they'd have to pay the market price, so they wouldn't be able to hire people. So why should it be capped?
Well, okay, the reality is, it seems that it is. We have John in Long Beach. It's called 1-800-TALK. Yes, he's got a question for you. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning, Tom. Well, the problem is, what this guy's talking about is a lot of theory. Well, theory sometimes and fact don't work out together. For instance, there's one thing, a guy like Bill Gates or some other individual who starts your own company, and by the sweat of their brow, they build it up and they're able to make millions. It's something else for CEOs who do not own the company, who are appointed or voted to be the CEO of the company, who walk off with hundreds of millions of dollars for only thing that they've done is connive. They really don't do the company they're with that much good. A prime example is Kmart, where these guys practically bankrupt Kmart. Now he says, well, these people who do things like that should be sent to jail. Well, again, in theory, that's great, but in fact, a lot of times it doesn't happen. Ken Lay's still walking around.
Yeah, I think we got your point, John. Got it. And there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, people, I had somebody on the program a couple days ago who said, well, you know, Martha Stewart is being prosecuted for corporate crime, and that proves that the system works. And in fact, Martha Stewart is not being prosecuted for corporate crime. She's being prosecuted for insider trading, for doing the same thing that George Bush did with his Harkin Energy stock. And it wasn't an insider thing. So,
okay, let's get back to...
Yeah, Mr. Locke, how do you respond to John's comment?
First of all, you have to distinguish between fraud and criminal activity like Enron or MCI.
But they haven't been prosecuted.
Where they cook the books, and they're all under investigation and indictment, and many of whom will end up in jail. And incompetence, where the person simply isn't good enough to do the job. And I think as I recall on Kmart, they were just basically incompetent, and they were trying to compete with Walmart, and they just weren't good enough to do it.
That's why Scott, the CEO,
kept getting fired.
Right.
Time after time, because they just couldn't hack it.
So it had nothing to do with Walmart having, you know, behaving like a monopoly.
Walmart became dominant because they were good.
So you think it's a good thing that the big fish get bigger and bigger and bigger until there's no fish left but one?
Well, I don't agree that there's no fish left but one.
But that's the direction we're moving.
If Walmart is better than everyone, they should grow as much as they can. And if they goof up, as IBM did, as Kodak did, as Xerox did, they'll lose their market share.
Right, I got it. 1-800-TALK-YES is their number. We've got four other callers here, Mr. Locke. That's why I'm cutting you off here,
right.
Not because I understand your point, and I want to get to the next caller here. Scott in Fort Worth is on the line. Scott, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello.
Hey.
I had a comment. This man was talking about how the...
This man is Edwin Locke. He's with the Ayn Rand Institute, ayn rand.org.
Yes, Mr. Locke. And my comment is that, you know, you say that wealthier people should get more tax cut. Well, what about the loopholes that are created for wealthy people and business owners and corporate people? What about those loopholes where they can get out of paying their taxes, they can have offshore accounts where they pay no taxes at all, and they get away with this?
Good question, Scott, and thanks for that call. Mr. Locke, what about that? I mean, we've got a system that's really skewed toward the rich right now, don't we?
Well, I think it's skewed against the rich, because although there are ways you can get out of it, those were created by the government for a particular purpose, such as municipal bonds. That was created by the government. My view is that there should be many more loopholes so that eventually we can abolish the entire income tax system completely. For instance, an interim...
How are you going to pay for the police department?
Well, an interim system, not the final system, would be to abolish the corporate income tax and replace it with a national sales tax, perhaps exempting rent and food for the poor. And
But everything
so that these people would have a choice to spend their own money as they wish, and it wouldn't be taken away before they even get a chance to spend it.
Okay, 1-800-TALK-YES. I got it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Vin in Santa Fe is on the line. Vin, welcome to the program. We're talking with Edwin Locke of the Ayn Rand Institute.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment on the idea of rewarding visionary intelligence. What about people like Richard Feynman, whose physics theories basically educated generations of physicists, without whose work we wouldn't have any information revolution?
Or
and
Albert Einstein.
Perhaps did theories themselves are not patentable. You know, who decide they have no interest in corporate life. How do we reward those people under this system?
Well, that's a good
Richard
question.
Richard Feynman did not die in poverty. He was well employed his whole life.
He wasn't a multimillionaire.
No.
I mean, he was a lot smarter than Bill Gates, and he never made $1 billion.
Well, it's not just an issue of intelligence. It's what the market price is for your work.
That's right. It's intelligence associated with business skills or business connections.
An Einstein won't make as much as Bill Gates, but an Einstein as you know, from his own life, will not go unrewarded and will be able to work at his chosen profession for his life in a rational society.
Vin, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate the call. We've got Joe in New Jersey. Joe, we've got about 30 seconds here if you want to pop in quickly.
Hi. I'm just always astounded that people think that what we have is a perfectly efficient market that functions in the way that Adam Smith described. I mean, what we actually have in reality is so far and so distorted from that ideal situation. How do these people even talk about what happens in our society being based on perfect functioning market forces?
Well, I don't think we have a capitalist system. What we have is a mixed economy with a zillion controls distorting everything. And
Mr. Locke, that music means that we've got a commercial break that we're coming up against. I'll let you have the last word right after, if you can hang on for 3 minutes through this break.
Sure.
And you can finish answering. John, thank you for that. Or Joe, I'm sorry, New Jersey, thanks for that comment. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the June Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you've got a paint project, come in today and get top quality Ace Royal Shield Satin House and Trim Paint for only $16.99 a gallon, our lowest price of the year. And not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of June. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Summer's here, and we can't think of a better way to kick it off than with a new car and an extra $4,000 in your pocket. Because right now, General Motors is offering $4,000 cash back on every 2003 Chevy Cavalier, S10, Tracker, and Avalanche, Pontiac, Sunfire, Grand Prix, and four-cylinder Grand Am, Old Silhouette, Buick LeSabre, and GMC Sonoma. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% APR financing for 5 years. You can't beat it. So if you've been putting off buying a car or truck, don't wait any longer. GM's making it easy for just about anybody who needs a car or truck to buy one. $4,000 back or 0% APR from the Great American Car Company. Now through July 7th, just in time for summer. You know there's a car or truck that's right for you. Come find it. Monthly payment is $16.67 for every $1,000 you finance. Example down payment approximately 12%. Some customers will not qualify. Take delivery by 7703. See dealer for details.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer.
at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad? Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk.
Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Edwin Locke of the Ayn Rand Foundation, or the Ayn Rand Institute, rather, AYNRAND.org. And I asked you to wrap up a comment on that. We've got about 3 minutes in this final segment here, but we also have one more caller on the line. So what I'd like to do is bring in Judy here from Illinois. And Judy, you can toss in your question or comment, and then we'll let Mr. Locke answer, and that'll wrap up our segment here. Judy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. You know, we've been there and done that. At the turn of the century, we had the very wealthy who supposedly employed the poor to do their work. Even when they built their homes, some of them had to leave their families for 6 months. They worked 6 days a week. They worked 12 hours a day. They had no insurance. I don't think the wealthy were very kind to these workers, who were skilled laborers, by the way, and artists, carpenters, stonemasons.
Yeah, but Mr. Locke says that if they don't have business skills, they shouldn't be rewarded.
Tension between classes, and it causes a lot of unrest.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
People suffered. Only a few didn't suffer. This is
okay,
not
Judy.
Communism. Actually, true communism, capitalism, monarchy, none of these systems of government mean anything unless the people profit by it.
Great.
Well,
Judy, thank you for your comment. Great. Well said. Mr. Locke.
Let's remember that during the 19th century, when we had closest to laissez-faire capitalism, we became the most prosperous country in the world, and the standard of living went up above that of virtually every country in the world.
That's because we discovered oil. In 1867,
not just oil,
in Titusville, Pennsylvania.
Free economy where people were free to produce, and it produced, yes, very wealthy people because they were the most brilliant businessmen, those that were got it honestly, and it produced a higher standard of living for the poor than any other country. Some people who were poor in this country lived better than the rich in other countries. So it was a time of growth and prosperity unprecedented in the history of the world and something we should be proud of.
Okay, great. Dr. Edwin Locke of the Ayn Rand Foundation, thank you for being with us. Judy, thank you for your comment. Henry Ford, it's easier to make a buck. It's a lot tougher to make a difference. A business that does nothing but make money is a poor business. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. We'll be back after the news.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational? And, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. With calmer winds yesterday, firefighters were able to make significant progress, they say, on containing the Aspen wildfire in Arizona. On the northern front, crews continued to set back burns and cut fire breaks. A wind shift yesterday to a westerly breeze helped to blow the fire also away from the town of Oracle. On the southeast face, meanwhile, crews held the line in protecting Mount Bigelow and the Palisades area. The fire has now grown to 30,200 acres, which is about 47 square miles. Officials say it is 35% contained. One Iraqi worker was reportedly killed today when an American vehicle carrying Iraqis came under attack in a Baghdad suburb. According to a military official, that vehicle carrying electrical workers exploded. The driver was killed and another person was injured. A military spokesman says officials think the explosion came from a rocket-propelled grenade. The Central Intelligence Agency says it now has critical parts of an important piece of Iraqi nuclear technology. CNN, at least, says those parts are necessary components for making bombs, and they were dug up by an Iraqi scientist. Mahdi Obaidi says he buried those parts under a rose bush in his backyard more than a decade ago on the orders of Saddam Hussein's son, Qusay. Obaidi also says he wasn't the only person told to hide such parts. Congress continues today reviewing pre-war intelligence on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction capabilities. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist earlier today defended the administration's claims on the Today Show. He said intelligence is an inexact science and also noted the evidence investigators are looking for isn't that easy to find.
Well, the weapons of mass destruction that we're talking about today are new. They're little viruses, they're bacteria, they're chemicals, things you can't see, you can't touch, you can't smell. So intelligence is tough.
Since President Bush declared an end to major combat roughly 2 months ago, no weapons of mass destruction have been uncovered in Iraq, despite the imminent threat the president used as his excuse to go to war on Iraq.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Accused September 11th conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui has scored a victory today after a U.S. appeals court tossed out a government appeal intended to block him from questioning a suspected al-Qaeda member currently in U.S. custody. Sources close to the case, however, say the government may now decide to drop criminal charges against Moussaoui and try him before a military tribunal in order to sidestep the court's decision. The ruling today paves the way for Moussaoui to access another accused al-Qaeda operative suspected of being the coordinator of the September 11th attacks.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Thousands of people are still fleeing Monrovia, Liberia today as fierce fighting continues in and around the capital city there. Rebels have advanced into the city in a bid to topple one of West Africa's most controversial leaders. That story now from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Foreign diplomatic missions in the capital, Monrovia, have taken in thousands of people. The week-old ceasefire between the warring factions is over, and the Liberian president, Charles Taylor, has vowed to fight to the finish. The British ambassador to the United Nations, Sir Jeremy Greenstock, has called for an American-led international peacekeeping force to be deployed. He's part of a high-level diplomatic mission from the Security Council, which is travelling to West Africa to hold talks in Ghana with Liberians from the various fighting factions. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
Before leaving on his first trip to Africa, President Bush today will deliver a major policy speech concerning the continent. He'll announce a $100 million plan to counter terrorism in Africa, and he will call for Liberian President Charles Taylor to step down. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh, no. One size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, broadcasting into cars and now into homes from their satellite way up there in the sky, and streaming live on the internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, and archived at whiterosesociety.org. Whiterosesociety.org. The White Rose Society, by the way, was the name of a student group that opposed Hitler right up to the bitter end. These people were protesting in 1944 and executed for it. It's an extraordinary history. Of course, this site is not that group. It's kind of a modern, you know, they borrowed the name. That group was wiped out, but it's just a remarkable story. We've been talking about, as a culture, if we discover the secret of enough, we all become richer. I'd like to make a couple of points about the discussion that we had in the last hour, Calvinism, the use of resources, some of these things. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Dave in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is on the line. Dave, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
Hey, Dave, thanks for joining us.
I'm sorry to hear Mr. Locke has left. I would have called in earlier if I knew he wasn't going to stay.
Well, it's, I mean, here we are. We can still, I can pretty much tell you what he would say about something, I think, or at least the objectivist philosophy. I mean, I read Ayn Rand 30 years ago and thought it was pretty cool at the time, actually.
Uh-huh. Well, so, you brought up something earlier, and you said it all boils down to cheap labor.
Yeah.
And I find that what's synonymous with cheap labor is human exploitation.
Sure. The whole conservative agenda is a cheap labor. We could call them cheap labor conservatives. In fact, we should start calling them cheap labor cons, because that's really what it's all about. And yes, it's holding people in bondage.
Well, Mr. Locke was saying that the more intelligent you are, the less hard you have to work and the more money you should make, and that's how it should be. At least that's what I heard him say.
That's my understanding.
And that's how he's measuring intelligence. I don't have my library with me right now, but there's a quote by Albert Einstein, someone no less intelligent than Albert Einstein. And he's talking about how the universe and everything in it is all of the same substance, and it's really a one thing, but it's an optical delusion of our own consciousness that we see ourselves as separate and different from others.
Mm-hmm.
And he said we needed to widen our circle of compassion until we could see that everyone comes from the same source and is equal, and what hurts any hurts all, and what helps any helps all.
And, of course, Einstein wasn't the first to say that. I mean, Jesus said that.
No, he wasn't.
Said that.
But to carry that idea forward, there's a book called Conversations with God. I believe it's the third volume by Neil Donald Walsh. And you can take it as truth or a grain of salt, whether it's actually God talking, but whatever it is, there's a lot of wisdom in that book.
Mm-hmm.
And Walsh is asking that voice of intelligence, you know, is there any way out of this exploitation and this situation that we find ourselves in? And the voice said to Walsh, yes, honesty and disclosure will balance the whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
He said that if all products were required to have the price it cost to make it, how much someone was paid to make it, and what the profit margin markup is on it, and all those things were on price tags, then people could decide what they felt was the best value. He also applied that principle to the workplace and said everyone should know what everyone else is making for doing the job they're doing. It should have to be posted.
I agree. Dave, do you have CWG Volume 3 right in front of you right now?
I don't have it, no.
Okay. You might, here's something you'll find interesting. This is a digression, and I confess to a certain amount of self-congratulation here, which is probably inappropriate. But if you look up my name in the index, look up Hartman in the index, I think it's on page 279, and Neil Walsh is talking with God about the state of the world, and he says, what can we do about it? And God says, read The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, a book by Tom Hartman. And what was so funny was I didn't know this was going on. I mean, I didn't know that he'd read the book or anything. I get this book and I read this thing. Actually, somebody had pointed it out to me. And so we issued a news release, because at that time the book was published by a little tiny publisher, saying God has endorsed a second book in 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago in the New Testament, he endorsed the Old Testament, and now in Conversations with God, Volume 3, page 279, he's endorsed The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight by Tom Hartman, and it got us a publisher with Random House, and it was a hoot. But anyhow, I am familiar with the book. I'm familiar with Neil's philosophy. I think he says a lot of things that are right on. And Dave, thank you very much for calling in and sharing that. We've got a couple other callers here I want to get to. Dave, I appreciate your call. Raymond in Michigan is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 825-5937. Raymond, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, how you doing this afternoon?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Raymond?
Really good. Hey, listen, man, the last segment, I kind of wanted to throw in my two cents on this laissez-faire capitalism or free market, whatever you want to call it. If I, you know, when I look at it, I think, well, you know, the only way that you can contribute to the whole is have the source of the wealth go back to feed what creates or provides the environment for that wealth creation. So, you know, how can you stand there and just be so selfish to say, hey, I pay 40% in taxes, but I'm making $1 million a year. How many people would like to make $1 million a year? They'd be real happy to pay those kind of taxes if it created the environment that gave more people that kind of wealth flow. So,
right.
You know, and really, they talk about the free market creating everything, going back to the end of the last 19th century, whenever he was talking about there. Remember, they gave all this right away to the railroads,
mm-hmm.
pushed people out of the way and took over land. The government has done a lot, including for Bill Gates to create their wealth. So the system doesn't work on one individual ideology. It's a combination of isms, you know?
Oh, yeah, it is. And what happens is that the people who are the most successful very often are the people who have gamed the system. I mean, look at George Bush, for example. He got into business because some of his father's wealthy friends loaned him millions of dollars. Then that business failed, and he lost their money. And,
right.
and essentially the same group of people loaned him more millions of dollars, and that business was on the edge of failing. He did an insider sell. He sold off his stock a week before the report came out that the company was going down. He made a profit. A bunch of people lost. He used that money to buy into a baseball team, again, with loans from his father's friends. And this is called a successful businessman. We have a system in America where if you game the system, you can do well, and then everybody thinks that there's some sort of morality associated with it. This is the Calvinist ethic, you know, the notion, the Calvinists who came over here in the 16th, 17th century, the idea that wealth was a sign of a blessing from God, that it was a sign of a moral, genetic, spiritual superiority. And it's a disease, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I really think the moral ethic we need to get to now is we know that things are right when we see they're in balance, when people are prospering, that institutions, government and corporations, are there to support people. People aren't
That's right.
there at the to support the evolution of all these individual institutions.
I'm right there with you, Raymond, and thank you for calling and sharing that comment. I appreciate your call. You're absolutely right, and that's the whole idea of government of, by, and for the people, that there is a regulatory mechanism built into governance. Jefferson wrote about this. Madison wrote about this. I'm going off on a rant here. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver's on the line with a comment. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
I'd like to make two comments, two observations. One is, like, hearing people like these people from the Ayn Rand Institute you've been had on, I keep on hearing these people who really like an idea and will do anything to make it right. And I always have to ask everybody, myself all the time, am I interested in the truth or being right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, I keep on hearing talking heads, not the balanced beings, you know, with consciousness and conscience, you know, conscience being feeling all that can be felt, consciousness knowing all that can be known. And you need that balance, that, you know, I don't hear anything below the neck. I don't hear the caring, the compassion that's required to balance out the head.
Well, the objectivist philosophy is one that exalts rationality above everything else. If you read Atlas Shrugged, you know, it's very clear that there are there were in Ayn Rand's world basically only two governmental systems. I mean, her father's business was lost during the Bolshevik Revolution, and she escaped Russia right after that and came to the United States. And I don't think she ever really understood democracy, because she has this notion that it's either socialism or it's laissez-faire capitalism, and she even portrays capitalism as a system of governance when actually it's a system of economics. So there's... And this has become essentially a religion now, and by folks, in my opinion, who don't really understand certainly don't understand what the notions of the founders of this country were.
Exactly, and I think you just made a huge point that I make to people all the time, to realize there's a great difference between a governing system and an economic system. You know, people
yes.
think that you cannot have a communist democracy, but you know, communism is an economic system.
Or a socialist democracy, as they have in
yeah.
Norway, with the highest standard of living in the world.
Yes.
Or many of the other Scandinavian
nations.
And
we need
okay.
to really distinguish that stuff.
Right.
And,
good point, Jeff.
Yeah. And
last point?
No, just that we just need to
here.
Be balanced in our views. We need to always remember, what are we being told below the neck? What do we feel there whenever we're being presented with any idea?
Yeah, I spot on. Jeff, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate the call. Woody in Texas has a comment. He's called 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Show, Woody.
Hey, Tom. I enjoyed your program, as always.
Thank you.
I was going to give you the perspective from the rich guy who pays too much in taxes. Well, at least I'm rich by the Democratic Party's definition of what rich is. I don't necessarily agree with it. Let me just throw the math at you. First of all, you made a couple of points with your guest about, well, who pays for the roads and who pays for the police and who pays for all that. Well, those are separate issues from federal income tax. We pay for the roads with our state and local fuel taxes. We pay for the police with our city taxes. We pay for the schools with our school taxes, and so on and so on and so forth. What we're talking about here is federal income tax. Now, I have an income which puts me in the top 5% wage earners in the United States, and I work very hard for that. I'm the proverbial traveling salesman. I'm on the road about 180 days a year. I spend about 130 nights a year in a hotel room. There's no such thing.
So you make over $370,000 a year.
Yeah, well, but there's no such thing as a 40-hour work week for me. I mean, I work like a Turk. I'm
right. No, I understand, but you said you're in the top 5%. You're making more than $370,000
a year. Right, and I'm a salesman, okay. And a salesman can make money because we work on commission.
Okay. Hey, Woody, can you hold that thought right there? We've got
sure.
That music means we're coming up against a break here. But hold that thought because I do want to hear your comment. We'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Stick with us. This is the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back in just a moment.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you abandon your country, moving your home base to another land in order to dodge paying the taxes you owe to America, would you still have the chutzpah to expect U.S. taxpayers to finance you? No? Well, that's probably because your parents raised you better, or because you're a loyal American, or maybe it's because you're not an arrogant, avaricious global greedhead like Accenture or Ingersoll Rand. They are among dozens of U.S. firms that have shifted their official corporate headquarters to offshore tax havens like Bermuda, using a loophole that allows them to skip out on some $4 billion a year on U.S. taxes they owe, yet then turn around and bill us taxpayers for $1 billion worth of government work. For example, Accenture, the huge consulting firm that was created by the Sharpies that ran the scandal-ridden Arthur Andersen accounting firm, lists its corporate address as Bermuda so it can shirk federal income taxes even though it makes most of its money here. Accenture wants all of the benefits of citizenship in the good old USA, but without having to pay its way. That's shameful enough, but then these leeches want our government to provide business for them. Accenture grabbed $662 million in federal contracts last year alone. If they're skipping out on paying their taxes, why should a dime of your and my tax money go to them? Twice, the U.S. Senate has passed bills saying no more federal contracts should go to these corporate deadbeats. But twice, the Bushites and the House leaders have killed the bills. The runaway corporations not only are major campaign donors to the GOP, but they've also hired a powerhouse lobbying team that includes two former senators and two former House members who were top committee chairmen. This is Jim Hightower saying, instead of paying a bunch of Gucci-clad lobbyists, they should pay their taxes to our country. Representative Richard Neal has a bill to bring these tax dodgers home. To back it, call Neal's office, 202-225-5601.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Program on the IE America Radio Network. Former Rush fan in our chat room. You can get to the chat room by going to TomHartmanShow.com and clicking on the chat room button. He says, personally, I don't think that $300K is that much. It seems that this guy is the kind of guy who makes things work in this country. What we need to address are the people making millions and billions of dollars. And on that point, I'll turn it back to you, Woody, in Texas. You were commenting about your income and federal taxes.
Right. Well, here's my point on this, Tom, is that it's not just what I do to make money for me. For the company I work for, which I don't even know how it would stack up in the greater scheme of things. Maybe, you know, we have about 600 employees, and there are only 13 of us sales guys working the entire United States. So, if you it's 587 people that depend on 13 of us to put bread on the table and presents under the tree, because nothing happens in this country until somebody sells something.
Yep.
And I guess my point is I could work less. I could do less. I could live on less. I got two problems with that. Number one, you know, in sales, it's not what have you done for me, it's what have you done for me lately. I'd probably find myself unemployed if I was slowing down about 40%.
Yeah, but you're only as good as your last week.
It tempts you to do that because you say, well, God, you know, proportionately, I give so much of my income to the federal government, I could work a lot less and come out on an income standpoint better off. But then I've got these 587 people who work for us who depend on me to put clothes on their back and bread on their table. So, I don't think I should be penalized so heavily on my taxes, because it doesn't take into account the contribution I'm making to all these other people's incomes and their lifestyles. And I work very hard, not just for myself, but for my coworkers also.
I understand, Woody, and on one level, I absolutely agree with you. Louise and I owned an ad agency in Atlanta, and my salespeople made more money than I did for most of the years that we ran that business. Sales is really important, and you pay those people very well. Now, what I would suggest is that you are earning money in the context of a system that is functional for you to earn money. And somebody's paying for those air traffic controllers that are getting you from city to city to make those sales calls. Somebody we collectively, with our federal tax dollars, paid for those communication satellites that the long distance companies are using so you can make your sales calls, so you can use the internet. We're providing a certain quality of life so that you can enjoy your life, so you don't walk, and unlike Bombay, you don't walk out the front door and there's beggars and people with leprosy on the street waiting for you to walk out and pull on your pant leg. We collectively agree that we need to have fresh air, that we want to be able to breathe the air, that we want to know that our water isn't contaminated. These are the things our taxes are paying for, and you are enjoying a large, and by the virtue of your work, and God bless you, you are enjoying a substantial benefit from this system that we have all collectively put together. Why shouldn't you pay a proportionately larger share for that, since you're getting a larger benefit from it?
I don't know that I am getting a larger benefit, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a tax protester. I am, you know, I'm fully willing to pay my fair share, and that's right. Why I think that our tax system, you know, it's just so convoluted and complicated. Why don't we just have a system where, pay a flat tax or something, or everybody. You know, I can't get over the fact that 48% of the American public pays no federal income tax. That
yeah, but
really
paying,
bothers
but
me.
Woody, they're paying an enormous amount of taxes. The people who are working at McDonald's, they're paying a payroll tax of 17-18%. They're paying sales tax on everything they buy. They're paying property tax, even if they're renting. They're paying it through their property. They're paying it through their rent. They are paying all kinds of taxes. And to only point to the income tax, which is the tax that only it's the only tax that kicks in above $87,000 a year, is to make an argument that only works for the benefit of the economic elite. Woody, thanks for your comments. I appreciate your call. Ed in Dayton, Jerry in Washington, David in Santa Fe. We'll get to your calls right after this break. You're listening to the Tom Hartman radio program. Stick around. We'll be right back. Common Sense from the Radical Middle.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some people say a good way to help countries deal with shortages of water is to sell them food. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Water is a basic necessity for growing food, and the amount of it that's required might be surprising. According to some estimates, it takes about 100 gallons of water to produce a pound of grain, and it takes up to 1,000 gallons of water to produce a pound of beef. Some countries don't have enough water for food production after they're done providing people with water for drinking and other household uses. Some water experts say countries that are short on water could deal with the problem by importing more food. Ali Shadi is one of the founders of the World Water Council, a group that recently hosted an international forum on water use around the world. Shadi says water is heavy and difficult to transport, so it can be hard and unprofitable to ship it to places that need it. Shadi believes an alternative is for countries that have a lot of water, like Canada and the United States, to grow food and sell it to places with less water.
Canada and the U.S., we are net food export, both from fresh produce like fruits and vegetables to meat and poultry and dairy products, and grains like wheat and barley and corn and soybean and all of those products.
Shadi says the idea of relying on other countries for food might not be very popular. He says most countries would prefer to limit their imports to avoid being dependent on other nations.
Every country would like to produce their own food to feed their own people. Any country that doesn't produce its own food feels vulnerable and dependent. They always live under the shadow of fear that the country that produces the food can also stop giving it to them.
Shadi hopes people around the world will learn more about the amount of water that goes into the food they eat. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The
best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all, we can go on.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking about, as a culture, we discover the secret of enough where we all become richer. Woody raised the flat tax. This is such a great example of how figures don't lie, but liars can figure. If you this use of the word income tax, and you'll notice that it's, you know, Steve Forbes, a multimillionaire whose magazine is marketed to multimillionaires, who's promoting this thing. There's a reason for that. If you want to see an example of this, go to the homepage of Rush Limbaugh, rushlimbaugh.com, and down at the bottom he's got this thing that purports to show the taxes that people pay. But it's a lie. It's only the income taxes that people pay. People who are making $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 a year, so are they not paying any taxes? They sure are. They're paying 16-17% of their income in payroll taxes. They're paying sales taxes. They're paying property taxes. They're paying all kinds of. They're paying gasoline taxes to get to work. And they're paying. In fact, here's the numbers. If you're in the bottom fifth of wage earners in the United States, making less than $13,800 a year, you are paying on average 8.8% of your income in taxes. If you're in the second fifth of the United States, $13,600 to $24,400 a year, you're paying an average of 15% of your income in taxes. If you're in the third fifth, $24,400 to $39,300 a year, you are paying an average of 20% of your income in taxes. And if you're in the fourth fifth, $39,300 to $64,900, you're paying 25% of your income in taxes. And if you're in the top 1%, income over $319,000, you are paying an average of 18% of your income in taxes. When you add up all the tax, what a flat tax does is it increases the taxes on the consumers on the low end, and it decreases the tax on the top end. And everybody's arguing for a flat tax on income taxes, but not on the Social Security and FICA tax, on the payroll tax. The payroll tax, you pay that 15, 16, 18%, I forget the exact number, on the first $87,000 you earn, and after that, you pay no tax. So the flat tax is a scam. It's just a scam. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is the number to be on the Tom Hartman Program. And Ed in Dayton, Ohio is on the line. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
I'm good. I was listening, though, to this this guy who was representing the RAND Institute. And, he is not looking at the whole picture, just the way you were talking about the flat tax, not looking at the whole picture, because he says that most of what's good about America has come from laissez-faire capitalism. But if you want to start running a balance sheet, let's talk about not only the wealth, but the ilth that has been generated by laissez-faire capitalism.
Well, not only that, Ed, the big thing is that if you look at the history of any culture, I mean, this is what happens when people are historically, culturally ignorant. If you look at the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and fall of the Greek Empire, they rose and they fell as a consequence of resources. When Rome had cut down all the trees in Italy, and literally they cut them all down because they were smelting silver and they were heating baths and they were growing and great. They had a currency crisis because they couldn't smelt silver anymore, and that's when they built their 40 wooden ships and went off and conquered Europe because they had run out of wood. Greece also wiped out their wood. Plato talked about it in his Critias about how the land is barren and naked. They had to pay a bounty to people to grow olive trees. We exploded in the United States during the Gilded Age because we had access to an enormous amount of coal that was virtually free, and because we started drilling oil, and because we were taking all this land from the Indians, and we bought a whole bunch of cheap land from Louisiana.
Is the byproduct of that of ignoring resources that seem unlimited, the fact that they are not unlimited, and not factoring in resources that we've got, you've got the whole idea in socialism of the labor theory of value, which basically concentrates on the idea of work being the root of wealth. And then you've got the capitalists who talk about investment being the root of wealth. But there's no codified economic system that addresses the question that natural resources have something to do with the root of wealth, and when they're gone, they're gone.
Right. Paul Hawkins,
we look at renewable ways. And that's my big problem with the Bush administration, is they keep talking about becoming energy independent, but the way they want to do it is to tap out all of the remaining amounts of fossil fuels that we have.
Yeah, I agree. Ed, I'm right there with you. In fact, I wrote a book about this called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, Ancient Sunlight being oil. We are living in the last hours of the era of oil, and it's a very real problem. Ed, thank you for the call. I appreciate your comment, and I want to emphasize the point that I think you were making, which is that we are externalizing costs and internalizing profits in corporate America. We're taking resources, we're converting them into cash and profit, putting that money in our bank or in our pockets, and then throwing waste out and allowing the public to deal with the waste. We're externalizing our costs and internalizing our profits, and it's an extremely destructive system. Paul Hawken wrote a great book about this called Natural Capitalism. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 825-5937. Jerry in Washington is on the line. Jerry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Oh, good afternoon, or good morning out here.
Yeah, okay.
I'd just like to...
You're in Washington State, eh?
Yes.
Great.
Washington State. Yeah, the real Washington.
There you go. Okay.
Anyway, I'd like to put an argument out here, argument being a series of logical steps to arrive at a conclusion about taxation levels.
Mm-hmm.
And one is, we all know that basic economic principles, the price that we pay for something is not absolutely related to the cost of producing it. It is
right.
related to how much we're willing to pay for it, which I would propose is related to the benefit we receive from it.
Well, there's another variable, and that is whether the market itself is constrained.
Right, yeah. But,
in other words, the availability of it.
But
you can't,
I kinda wanna
buy
go
an
with
operating
the flow
system.
With some of the principles that your Ayn Rand guy put out here. Is,
okay.
Because what I want to get to is since the government sort of sets up and enforces the rules of our economic system, those who benefit the most from the government, therefore, ought to be paying the most for the government services. And
yeah,
the
that's,
objective
that's
way to measure the benefit that somebody gets is how much money they make.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they ought to be paying more for it.
Yeah, or at least something that is proportionate. I think that if you look at the progressive income tax, one of the goals of the progressive income tax wasn't so much to soak the rich, but it was to compensate for the fact that at the bottom of the income scale, people are paying other taxes beyond income
right.
tax that are sucking up a proportionate. I mean, if you have to spend 20% of your income on food and 30% of your income on shelter versus somebody who pays less than 1% on food and shelter, then there should be some consideration for that in the tax code, or at least that's the theory of progressive income.
Yeah, and I agree. And it's pretty clear that people don't stop making money because they, might pay some taxes and poor parents don't tell their children don't work hard to earn money because you're going to pay taxes on it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Thank you, Jerry, for your comment. I appreciate the call. And 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 825-5937. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. And David in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm calling. I was wondering if you look at the FEC, how much money the corporations donate to the Libertarian Party as opposed to the Republican Party. And the reason is because corporations don't want laissez-faire. Corporations
no.
want state-sponsored corporatism and capitalism. So.
Yeah. Here's a little information for you on that, David. This is from a column by Molly Ivins back in January 2003, Politicians for Sale at Low Prices. Less than 0.1% of the U.S. population gave 83% of all campaign contributions in the 2002 election cycle. For example, the top corporations that paid zero taxes from 1996 to 1998, which includes AT&T, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Chase Manhattan, Enron, ExxonMobil, General Electric, Microsoft, Pfizer, and Philip Morris, gave 150.1 $1 million to campaigns from 91 to 2001. Public Campaign reports they got a $55 billion tax break in 96 to 98 alone. They paid $150 million to politicians. They got $55 billion back. Three times as much money now comes from working people's payroll taxes as from corporate tax payments. And then she goes on to say, the only way the spinners of damn lies and statistics can get away with claiming that the rich pay more in taxes is because they count only the income tax, which is progressive. But sales tax, excise taxes, import tariffs, payroll taxes, and state taxes give an entirely different picture.
Yeah,
and,
but the corporations don't want laissez-faire free market economy. They want a system of government that promotes their businesses. And that's look at FDA right now. The pharmaceutical companies are pushing them to disallow Americans to go to Mexico or Canada to buy on the free market competitively priced drugs. So.
Yeah, in Unequal Protection, I put in an example of how this was during the Bush administration, the first Bush administration, when George Bush Sr. was president, and how one of the large pharmaceutical companies, or one of the big crop companies, was developing a genetically modified product, and there were no regulations for it. And so they, before they brought this product out, they went to the Bush administration and personally lobbied George Bush Sr. and said, we want you to establish regulations for this product.
Right.
And you would say, wait a minute, an industry wanting regulation? Well, they wanted the regulation to protect them, because
sure.
What regulations do is they define the limits of liability. If there's no regulation on the amount of mercury you can release into the atmosphere, for example, and you're releasing 10 parts per million, somebody can come along and say, 10 parts per million, it's giving me neurological damage. But if the government says it will be regulated that you can't emit more than 11 parts per million, up to 10, and you're emitting 10, suddenly your behavior has been legalized.
Uh-huh.
And I think I assume that that's what you're talking about there, David.
Yeah.
Okay, great. David, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comment. Yesterday, this wasn't yesterday. I got this about 3 days ago. Vice President Dick Cheney, this was on the 24th, day before yesterday. Vice President Dick Cheney began his 2004 fundraising chores today with a 13-minute speech in Virginia's mecca of political money, raising about $500,000 for the White House reelection effort. Translation, yesterday Cheney raked in $38,471 per minute, or $641 per second. He pocketed more in 1 minute than the average annual per capita income of the average American, and more in 1 second than the average American will see in tax relief from the latest GOP tax bill. Cheney, by the way, personally pocketed more than $116,000 from the latest tax bill that he cast the deciding vote on in the Senate. Another point, George Bush flew into New York City yesterday, delivered a 29-minute speech, and collected $4 million from Gotham's Republicans. Translation, yesterday Bush raked in $137,931 per minute, or $2,298 per second. In other words, Bush pocketed more in 1 minute than the yearly income of someone in the top 15% of all income earners in America. In 1 second, he raked in 10 times as much as the average citizen will see in tax cuts from his latest tax bill. Bush personally pocketed about $5,600 from his latest tax bill. And yesterday, the average American wage earner made an average of 27 cents per minute, or about a half a cent per second. The majority of Americans will receive less than $100 in tax relief from Bush's tax bill. And that's with the average worker at the rate of $16.23 an hour, which is kind of pushing it. Representative David Obey of Wisconsin, interesting stuff in the news here, just to wrap this up. He says, and I quote, the Republican Party in Congress is willing to put huge new tax gifts for the most comfortable in our society ahead of every other economic and social value, end quote. Citing the House GOP move to cut inheritance taxes by $800 billion over 10 years, Obey said, quote, that would be enough money to take care of 30% of the long-term Social Security shortfall. It would be enough to provide a decent rather than a token prescription drug benefit to our seniors, end quote. Obey, ranking member on Appropriations, pointed out that to pay for tax cuts, Republicans were underfunding education programs, including Bush's own No Child Left Behind Act, allowing thousands of poor children to be thrown off Medicaid and providing less money than Bush requested to reverse the shortage of nurses in this country. This is remarkable. What happens in the United States if we were to go with the laissez-faire folks, if we abolished the minimum wage, if we eliminated all social spending, if we opened our borders to cheap goods from the rest of the world and capital flight to the third world, which direction would wages go? Down. absolutely down. Now, what kind of this conceptual gorilla.com, great website, www.conceptualgorilla.com, share some of the, what sort of personal responsibility is possible in such an environment, they ask on this website. If a wage earner's only asset is his ability and willingness to do a day's work for a day's pay, where does he get the wherewithal to improve his circumstances? He gets that from the wages he earns. But in the environment created by the cons, that wage scale will not support accumulation of any savings. It will not support job training or higher education. It will allow the wage earner to survive in an economic environment where he lives paycheck to paycheck, hoping he doesn't lose his job. But that's it. If you have nothing and can accumulate nothing, according to the conservatives, according to the cons, it's your own fault. Thus, does the conservative wash his hands of the poverty and exploitation inevitable in such an economic environment? It is his fault. It's not his fault. It's impersonal market forces. All of this utterly overlooks all of the laws, institutions, and government created infrastructure that benefits the wealthy. First of all, we have the corporation. I mean, the corporation is created by government and gives limited liability to investors. We have the imbalance of economic power between those who hold capital on the one hand and wage earners on the other. I mean, these folks say that there shouldn't be unions, that employees shouldn't be able to organize themselves together. But capital should be able to organize itself together. Rich people should be able to get together and create large corporations. But the employees that they hire, no, they should not be able to organize. It should be a free market for them. It's all about cheap labor. That's the bottom line for the cons. It all comes back to that. In fact, the largest beneficiaries of all government-built infrastructure, including hydroelectric dams, railroads, air traffic control systems, even roads and schools, are the corporations who buy power, transport goods by rail or over the roads, and employ workers educated at public expense. This from conceptualgorilla.com. They are the primary beneficiaries of the banking system, of the Federal Reserve efforts to stabilize the currency, and of the regulation of securities, creating confidence in our financial markets. But the cons don't see any of this. They just say, the wage earner should stand on his own 2 feet, as if they do. In fact, they're standing on the backs of labor. Stay with us. This is the Tom Hartman Program. We'll return in just a few minutes.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
People do it every day.
I can play.
I can cook.
I can listen.
They do the simple, everyday things that can do the most to keep a kid off drugs. It's a fact. Kids who have something to do are less likely to do drugs. So if you can spare an hour or two,
you can keep a kid off drugs.
To find out about community drug prevention groups, call toll-free 1-877-KIDS-313. 1-877-KIDS-313. A public service message from the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
At John Deere, we know there are people who'd love to own our lawn tractors, but ask themselves, am I really John Deere material? Am I committed enough to my yard? Am I worthy of taking my place on the signature yellow seat, the throne of the king of lawn tractors? To that we say, ease up, slugger. You don't have to love yard work to own a John Deere. You just have to love the ease and performance that comes with owning one. That's why we're introducing the 100 Series. Lawn tractors that give you the reliability, durability, and precision of a John Deere. Starting at just $1,499. Yes, just $1,499. At that price, the question is not if you're worthy of taking your place on the throne of the king of lawn tractors. The question is, how soon can your reign begin? So go ahead, buy a new 100 series. Nothing's stopping you, and nothing runs like a deer.
$14.99 based on MSRP. Tax, delivery, and setup not included.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.
Otis Redding. Songs like that make me nostalgic for the days back 1968 to 1975 or thereabouts when I was a DJ. What great music. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. 1-800-825-5937 for the Tom Hartman Program. And David, a different David in Santa Fe, is on the line, wants to talk about self-employment tax. David, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, David.
Hi, you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. We got about 2 minutes left here.
Yeah.
Fire away.
The employment tax rate is 15.3%.
And thank
you. I have two questions. One is, how come people earning their living by making investments aren't considered self-employed and therefore liable for self-employment taxes?
Good question.
Why does it cut off at $87,000?
Well, I'd say the answer to both those questions is that our tax system is set up to be of inordinate benefit to people who make more than $87,000 a year.
Exactly.
Okay. So we're in agreement. Yeah, that's the point that I think needs to be made over and over. And David, thank you for pointing that out.
What would the rate be if everybody earning money, no matter how they earned it, paid self-employment tax? The rate would probably be like 4%.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Howard Dean said a couple of days ago. They said to Howard Dean, you know, what about the tax thing? How are you going to pay for Social Security? And he said, just, you know, stop capping it at $87,000. Let it go up to $100,000. Let it go up to $200,000. Heck,
yeah.
If you raised it to, you know, if you made it infinite, that is, no matter how much money people made, they always paid that 15.3% for Social Security, you would fund the entire Social Security system tomorrow morning for the next 100 years.
Exactly. Oh, who's the senator from New York? The former senator from New York who just died. I think he came up with the 4% figure that if everybody paid.
Yeah.
it would be 4% instead of 15.3.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Thank you, David. I appreciate the call and the comment, and thanks for giving me that statistic, 15.3%. The wealthy are superior competitors, the cons would say. If you haven't succeeded, it must be because you're inferior. This is social Darwinism, and it's toxic. We'll be back. This is Tom Hartman. See you after the top of the hour.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Wildfires are still burning today in New Mexico and Arizona, where weather conditions in both states have helped fuel the spread of the blazes. Arizona's Aspen Fire now covers more than 30,000 acres, but firefighters did report some progress yesterday when the heavy winds of the previous few days died down. Officials say a second fire now burning in New Mexico, meanwhile, may have been caused by arson, while fireworks may have sparked another fire that began earlier near Albuquerque. Congress continues today reviewing pre-war intelligence on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Earlier today, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist defended the administration's claims on the Today Show. He said intelligence is an inexact science.
We have very good intelligence in this country today. It can always be improved. We made decisions, the administration made decisions, based on the very best intelligence that we have.
Since President Bush declared an end to major combat operations roughly 2 months ago, no weapons of mass destruction have been uncovered in Iraq, despite the imminent threat the president used as his excuse to go to war. Palestinian President Yasser Arafat earlier said he does expect an announcement sometime today. Militants have agreed to stop their attacks on Israelis. Nabil Abu Erdane, a senior advisor to Arafat, says while a deal is within reach, it's still up to the Israelis as well to stop the violence on their part.
We are on the verge of arriving to a ceasefire, but the Israelis are doing all their best to ruin that ceasefire. We hope that the Americans would interfere and urge the Israelis to stop their aggression.
A top Islamic Jihad official says he's still waiting from input from what he calls his fighters in the field, as well as those still held in Israeli prisons, and warned that may take time. A Hamas leader said his group's decision on a truce would be announced in the coming days. Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas has said he doesn't intend to confront the extremists, but hopes to convince them to accept the ceasefire. More bloodshed, meanwhile, erupted today, further dimming hopes of implementing the latest U.S.-backed peace plan. An Arab youth fatally shot an Israeli security guard in a town near the West Bank.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it. Wherever you are, Allivert, use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Good news on the jobless front today, with numbers from the Labor Department showing first-time unemployment claims dropping to a three-month low last week. Initial claims for the week ending June 21st fell by 22,000 to 404,000. Analysts were expecting jobless claims only to fall to 415,000. The nation's gross domestic product grew at a revised rate of 1.4% in the first quarter. The Commerce Department says that's a downward revision from the 1.9% estimated about a month ago. First quarter GDP also matched the slow growth of 2002's final quarter.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Iran is blasting comments from British Prime Minister Tony Blair supporting recent student protests against that country's clerical regime. Officials have already also complained about similar remarks made by President Bush. The story from Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi.
The Iranian Foreign Ministry has called in the British ambassador in Tehran, Richard Dalton, to verbally protest Tony Blair's remarks. Mr. Blair had said the recent demonstrations in Iran deserved Britain's support. Iran State TV reports Tehran believes Blair's comments constitute meddling in Iran's domestic affairs. And news reports say an Iranian official told the ambassador that the prime minister's remarks were out of line with Britain's declared policy of non-interference in Iran's internal affairs. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
And the husband of former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher died today at the age of 88. Her private office says Sir Dennis Thatcher died peacefully at a London hospital, surrounded by family and friends. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting on the Sirius radio satellite from the depths of outer space, Sirius Channel 145. You can listen to it in your car, and broadcasting on the internet from radiopower.org and iamericaradio.com and archived at whiterosesociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. In this hour, we are going to be looking at the question, what's the impact on democracy of corporate crime and privatization and just this whole issue of what's going on. For example, why did this, from something that Charlie Cray, a friend of mine at Citizens Works, wrote in a thing that he called the WorldCom Con. He says, why did the federal government give MCI WorldCom a contract to rebuild Iraq's wireless network the same day that it announced the largest penalty yet assessed on any single company involved in the recent corporate crime wave? For that matter, why is a company that committed the biggest accounting fraud in history not simply barred from receiving government contracts and FCC licenses? And why is that company able to pay most of its fine out of a $300 million tax rebate that it received as a result of claiming it overpaid its taxes when overstating its earnings? That is, a benefit that they got from corporate crime. It's all very strange. Darren Puskas is a researcher at the Polaris Institute, www.polarisinstitute.org, in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and a local organizer in Ottawa on anti-corporate, anti-war, and popular education issues. He's currently working at Polaris as part of an international campaign providing public sector unions and grassroots groups in 6 countries with research and popular education materials for use in stopping the General Agreement on Trade and Services, GATS, and FTAA services negotiations. Darren, welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Okay, hopefully our board operator can crank the volume up just a little bit there and make it a little easier. Darren, tell us about this. Tell us about your group and what you're doing.
The Polaris Institute, I mean, we do a number of different things. We do work on biotechnology. We do work on looking at defense in both the Canadian and U.S. context. But my work specifically is on looking at how to build movements and how to build, we do research essentially for movements to fight against privatization of public services, essentially.
Okay, what's wrong with privatization of public services, Darren?
Well, the problem with privatization of public services in general is, well, first of all, it takes decision-making power out of the hands of government, whether it be local, provincial, or I guess state government or federal government, and puts it into the hands of corporations, which are, as we see, when they, to the extent they even are regulated, they're regulated very weakly and leaving.
But the advocates of this, Darren, the advocates of this would say, but the free market will decide. If you leave things up to private corporations, they'll do it more efficiently, they'll do it better, it'll happen the right way, you won't have all these bureaucrats in the way. Well, you know,
I've been hearing that for about 10 years while I've been working on this stuff, but
have you seen any evidence of it?
What's that?
I mean, is there any truth to that?
When it comes to public services, I feel like there's no truth to that. Public services generally just become, especially public services like water, energy, that sort of thing, which are natural monopolies, generally just become very expensive because corporations are aiming to make a profit. And what they do is they put on top of the basic costs that are there, a profit margin. I mean, just yesterday, in fact, in Halifax, here in Canada, the water company Suez was kicked out of a project in Halifax that they had a 30-year contract to clean up waste and wastewater, and they were kicked out for a number of reasons. One, because they didn't want to have to pay for any environmental assessments or any kind of environmental regulation. But also, the mayor mentioned that they are their costs were way higher than what the public was, simply because they expect a profit margin on top of everything, and with natural monopolies that just doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't understand how these cons can come out and say we can provide, let's privatize water and we'll provide water to you cheaper than the government can do it, when they've got to pay a dividend to their stockholders. They got CEOs who want multi-million-dollar salaries. They got corporate jets. They got advertising expenses. They got to pay for lobbyists to go lobby the government officials to give them the deal in the first place. How? The only way that they could do it is by cutting back on the quality of the product that they're actually delivering.
Yeah, and that's what happens in many cases. I mean, that's what happened in Atlanta with water privatization, for example.
Right.
I mean, that's happened in Peru with energy privatization. It's happened in Brazil. It's happened all around the world. Case after case after case seems to be proving.
And all of these natural
monopolies.
Really
see.
Dan, all of these natural monopolies.
Darren,
tell us about... I'm sorry?
Sorry, I'm having trouble again hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whatever we have here, I think, is what we have.
No problem.
Okay. Tell us about the U.S. Coalition of Service Industries.
Well, the U.S. Coalition of Services is an organization that is essentially the lobby for service industries in for service industries corporations in the United States. By service industries, that's often defined as any group that can be, or anything that can't be dropped on your foot, which would be a good if it can be dropped on your foot. So These are corporations that are involved in financial services, water services, energy services, health services, all those sorts of things. So you just name the corporation.
Electricity.
And the U.S. Coalition of Service Industries is the group that ties many corporations together. And the reason I got interested in this coalition is because of they're the main group that is involved in pushing for liberalized trade agreements at the WTO and FTAA, World Trade Organization.
Why don't you explain what you mean by liberalized trade agreements?
Well, they want open access to markets there. They want to be able to go in without any problem and have access to the markets, for example, a water system in Argentina, which they do currently. But what they want is not just open access, but they want to not be able to be kicked out.
So they want to strip we, the people, of the power to regulate our own commons.
Exactly. If they do get kicked out, which ultimately a government can do, they have to pay, they'll be forced under WTO or FTA rules to pay economic sanction, pay money through economic sanctions. So that's kind of how it generally works. But the U.S. Coalition of Service Industries, what was so interesting about them is the fact that they also have, amongst their 60 members, an exorbitant number of corporations on that membership that were involved in all the scandals of the last couple of years. So not only are they the biggest pushers of the trade agreements and the biggest pushers of privatization, but they're also often corporate criminals. So for example, Enron, Anderson, WorldCom, Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, all the ones, J.P. Morgan, that were involved, are all on this coalition. And it's very interesting, actually, as a bit of a side note, is that Enron and Anderson, as well as Vivendi and a couple of others, have actually dropped off the coalition. I'm not sure exactly what that's all about. But when they were involved in the coalition, that's when their scandals broke. So and what they tried to do, what this coalition tries to do, is use its influence, use its very strong collective influence to influence the U.S. government. I want to be very careful. This isn't something that just happens in the U.S. We have exactly the same thing happening here in Canada, and we do a lot of work looking at the Canadian manufacturers and exporters, and Europe has the same thing, the European Services Forum. But in the U.S. context, what the U.S. coalition is able to do is influence through a number of different mechanisms. They've got once a year, they have a conference, a very, very interesting conference that they get to hold at the Department of Commerce in Washington. So you've got this corporate lobby group with individuals representing members of the corporate lobby, plus administrators from the corporate lobby, there at the Department of Commerce, hobnobbing, having sessions, having keynotes, that sort of thing, with the head of the WTO was there last year, with Department of Commerce, Department of Transportation, the Treasury, all these groups. And it's here at places like this that trade policy is developed, more so than, the odd consultation that the U.S. Trade Representative will have with the
public. So this is not the free market. This is the old boys club.
Oh, no, it's a lot of old boys club going on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's also very interesting, is even beyond this, maybe even more importantly, is the fact that this group, they're probably the key place for trade policy to be developed outside of these types of shindigs is in something called the Industry Sector Advisory Committees that the U.S. Trade Representative Office has. Mm-hmm. And they have a number of different committees, but one of them is services. And if you ever look at the services committee, to see that 20 out of the 30 corporations on this committee are from the U.S. coalition. Actually, 29 out of 29 out of 30 are corporations. And that's where policy is driven. That's where it's decided upon. And as I said, yeah, 20 are from the U.S. coalition. So you can see where they have their feet and how policy is developed.
And our government is becoming, our governments, yours in Canada and ours here in the United States, are increasingly becoming the captives or the servants of these corporations rather than the masters of these entities that they created. I mean, corporations are created by the authorization of government.
Yes.
So, Darren, we're speaking today with Darren Puskas of the Polaris Institute. PolarisInstitute.org is their website. And Darren, in the final 2 minutes or so we have in this segment, tell us about Halliburton. They're listed in this report that you wrote called Enron-Style Corporate Crime and Privatization.
Well, Halliburton, as we all know, is heavily implicated in a lot of the stuff that is happening in Iraq. They just got, I think you mentioned it at the top of the talk, that they got a no-bid contract to run to stop the oil field fires in Iraq, but it also was extended to a lot of other oil services throughout Iraq in the post-war era. And a lot of people predicted this, that this would all happen before the war happened. Is they were saying how, you know, Bechtel and Halliburton were lining up. They were showing how they were being lined up and this sort of thing. And it certainly helps that Dick Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton up until
he became
vice president. But what's also very interesting is that Halliburton has, through all of this, has been under a lot of investigation. They were investigated last year, although it's now been closed. But they were investigated.
Darren, we're about out of time. You got to wrap it up here. Now, last 10 seconds here.
Okay, so anyway, the main purpose of discussing the U.S. Coalition of the Service Industries was to get people out to the World Trade Organization, FTAA, events happening in Cancun and Miami in the next.
Okay, great. And Darren, more people can find more information by going to your website, which is www.polarisinstitute.org.
Yes.
Thank you for being on the program.
Thanks,
I appreciate it. And stick around. We'll be right back.
Here's the problem with most test drives. You don't really get to test anything. You go around the block, maybe two if you're lucky, and the whole time a salesman's yapping nonstop, probably to cover up that weird noise that's coming from the engine compartment. Only one car company has the confidence to let you take a car home overnight and drive it on your terms. That company is GM. It's called the 24-hour test drive. Drive it to work, to soccer practice, see what your friends think. There's no pressure to buy. It's a big decision. There's a lot of money on the line, and we want you to be totally comfortable with it. Of course, you have to have a driver's license. You have to have insurance. You have to have approved credit. I know, we're real sticklers. Oh, yes, you have to be 21. Just get to a participating dealer by July 21st. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour or call 1-800-508-1050.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you abandon your country, moving your home base to another land in order to dodge paying the taxes you owe to America, would you still have the chutzpah to expect U.S. taxpayers to finance you? No? Well, that's probably because your parents raised you better, or because you're a loyal American, or maybe it's because you're not an arrogant, avaricious global greedhead like Accenture or Ingersoll Rand. They are among dozens of U.S. firms that have shifted their official corporate headquarters to offshore tax havens like Bermuda, using a loophole that allows them to skip out on some $4 billion a year on U.S. taxes they owe, yet then turn around and bill us taxpayers for $1 billion worth of government work. For example, Accenture, the huge consulting firm that was created by the Sharpies that ran the scandal-ridden Arthur Andersen accounting firm, lists its corporate address as Bermuda so it can shirk federal income taxes even though it makes most of its money here. Accenture wants all of the benefits of citizenship in the good old USA, but without having to pay its way. That's shameful enough, but then these leeches want our government to provide business for them. Accenture grabbed $662 million in federal contracts last year alone. If they're skipping out on paying their taxes, why should a dime of your and my tax money go to them? Twice, the U.S. Senate has passed bills saying no more federal contracts should go to these corporate deadbeats. But twice, the Bushites and the House leaders have killed the bills. The runaway corporations not only are major campaign donors to the GOP, but they've also hired a powerhouse lobbying team that includes two former senators and two former House members who were top committee chairmen. This is Jim Hightower saying, instead of paying a bunch of Gucci-clad lobbyists, they should pay their taxes to our country. Representative Richard Neal has a bill to bring these tax dodgers home. To back it, call Neal's office, 202-225-5601.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Bosses of the world unite, let us save the day. Malcontents without 5 cents want us to cut our pay. We only make 500 times as much as our average worker drones. We work just as hard and we too sometimes need to paint our homes. The pressures are incredible and no one seems to care. We moved our plants to Haiti and now we have to move from there. They're clamoring for more than a dollar a day from Malaysia to Mexico. At that rate, pretty soon, there'll be no place for us to go.
Oh, bosses of the world unite. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Let's look at some of the mail and email and postings to the forum. The chat room, of course, is live interactive, and if you want to get there, just go to tomhartmanshow.com and click on the chat button. It'll take you to the trade forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button, and you'll be in the chat room. And the message board is interactive. You can post messages there, and they're just there. You know, they stay there for a long, long time. In order to get into the chat room, you just have to come up with a handle or a name. In order to post on the message board, the software logs your IP address. So there's some people are a little concerned about the privacy issue there. It's probably a legitimate concern, but that's the way the software works. Anyhow, I wanted to share some of the stuff here. I got an email from... Oh, who's this from? Sam. And Sam says, I think, and this is talking about a show we did earlier in the week or perhaps last week about Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean and these folks, the Democrats. He says, but specifically about those two, the kind of the leading progressives of the bunch or perceived as progressives. I think Dean is more of a kind of middle-of-the-road guy. But anyhow, he says, I think Dennis Kucinich would make a great president. In many ways, he represents my views better than Dean does. The NRA gives Dean an annual 100% approval rating, for example. In other ways, I'm more partial to Dean. If I was a Democrat, I'd probably be backing Carol Mosley Brown because I'd be looking for a savior to save my party from the clutches of Lieberman and the DLC. But I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Green. I've already given up on the Democratic Party offering any saviors or saints, at least in the presidential nominee. The Democrats are just too tied up in corporate cash, and he goes on about this. So this leaves me, Sam says, so this leaves me in a different position than you. I want the Democratic presidential nominee to accomplish two things. One, beat Bush. And two, be as far to the left as possible and still accomplish number one. Dean is not perfect. Kucinich is not perfect. They both have their flaws. But the one thing I think Dean can do is beat Bush.
I truly believe that Kucinich, a little-known congressman with a mixed record on choice, would not be able to do that. In fact, I think Dean is the only candidate who would be able to beat Bush. And so on he goes. Now, on the flip side of that, I've gotten, I don't have any right here in front of me because it's been a few days since we've gotten any, but I've read several of them in the air where folks are saying, but, you know, Dean's not a real progressive, and Kucinich is the real thing, and Kucinich really, you know, and so, you know, it's, this is, welcome to electoral politics. On our message board, we'd had Andrew Bernstein on earlier in the week, as I recall. Or, no, it was last Friday. It was when I was doing the show from Detroit. And he was with the American Enterprise Institute or the Ayn Rand group, one of those. And clearly one of his supporters came in and posted on our message board, said, I just listened to the interview with Andrew Bernstein of the Ayn Rand Institute on the topic of the privatization of education. I have to say that I was appalled by how shabbily he was treated intellectually. Tom Hartman was very glib and smug and probably thought he was thoroughly discredited Bernstein, but such glibness and smugness is merely a sign that in the field of ideas, Hartman moves within a very safe and comfortable range. This is shown in his slogan claiming that he speaks for the radical middle. And then he goes on and on. There's like five or six paragraphs here. And then another person agreed with that. And then Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, comes on and says, with all due respect, not quite as comfortable when the shoe is on the other foot, huh? All I can say is go, Tom, go. I'm envisioning the day when Tom squares off with Limbaugh himself. Talk about a media event. Boy, would that be wild. Anyhow, he wouldn't do it, of course, because he would lose. It's 29 minutes after the hour. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. The number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to join us on the program, stick around. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Employees of the Baltimore Sun with the Washington Baltimore Newspaper Guild have a new contract today. By a vote of 319-102, the Guild's writers, advertising, and maintenance workers voted to accept the four-year contract, but not before approving a statement condemning their newspaper's parent corporation, the Tribune Company, for bad faith bargaining and union-busting activity. The new contract comes with a $1,500 signing bonus and will give workers a $24 a week raise in its second year, but it also gives the newspaper the ability to transfer employees into new positions without their consent, and it gives the paper newfound power to outsource certain jobs and to hire non-union workers.
Even though Nigeria has vast quantities of oil, most of it is exported by multinational companies for sale on the world market. Nigeria regularly faces fuel shortages as a result, and the government is seeking to tackle the problem by jacking up the price of petroleum to discourage use. A recent decision to raise prices by some 54% has set the populace on edge, and now Nigeria's main confederation of trade unions is calling for a general strike to begin on Monday to protest the price rises. This will likely curtail petroleum production in the world's fifth most oil-rich country.
It's Christmas in June for farmworker Tolentino Martinez. The Mexican farmworker picked tomatoes in California's fields during the 1970s, where he contributed to the United Farmworkers Pension Fund. Martinez forgot about the pension, but his daughter contacted the union to see if he was eligible to receive benefits. He was, and this week Martinez collected a check for $42,000 in back pension pay. The United Farmworkers Union is still trying to locate about 1,000 retired farmworkers who are still owed pensions from their time in California's fields.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network. We got an email here from Kayla. Kayla Michael, she said, did anyone hear any anti-war sentiment on mainstream AM radio prior to the war? All I heard was Bush, Rumsfeld, Cheney soundbites reiterating the phrase, weapons of mass destruction, every day, hour by hour. How many liberal talk shows are broadcast nationally on AM radio compared to conservative talk shows? None that I know of talk about media bias. AM radio is almost completely right-wing. I want to talk about this. This is an interesting thing, an interesting phenomena, and there's change in the wind, and I want to let you know about it. If you'd like to be on the program, by the way, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And I'll get into my little rant about AM talk radio right after we listen to Stan in Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, Stan.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter.
Yeah, it's Tom.
Wanted to praise you and your producers. Y'all are just doing an absolute dynamite job.
Well, thank you.
A while ago, the gentleman from, I think it's the Ayn Rand Foundation, he's very similar to many of these people who come on. Now, there's a silver bullet and silver cross that can be held up to these vampires, and it's simply
right.
This. We're in a very similar camp to Peter Drucker, both of us. Peter Drucker was the Albert Einstein of American business management for the 20th century, very pro-business. But he came out of the Franklin Roosevelt era, and he understood how damaging big business abuse could be. So again,
yeah, I read one of his books on management way back in the 70s, as I recall. I don't remember
great.
The title.
He's great, and there's a tremendous censorship going on underway against Peter Drucker in this country by the predatory capitalist forces. But I just wanted to remind people that Peter Drucker and George Orwell, who wrote 1984, were in total agreement. They agreed that the corporate monopolies and cartels that appear in predatory capitalism are virtually identical to the same monopolies and cartels that appear in predatory communism. And, buddy, when you hold up that cross to these vampires, they cannot stand up against that because Peter Drucker is too well established in defending true free enterprise, just as you defend free enterprise. Now, one more author who's in our camp, Vance Packard, I strongly encourage everybody
The Hidden Persuaders.
Huh?
The Hidden Persuaders was his first big book back in, what, 69?
The People Shapers.
Yes.
The People Shapers, too. Now, that's all I have. But congratulations on the dynamite job, and we're going to continue to give you all the support we can, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Stan. Stan, before you go, Peter Drucker, I can't remember the title. He had a big book in the early 70s. It was like one of those, you know, it was a New York Times bestseller, and everybody was reading it, and I read good chunks of it, but I can't remember the title. Do you know the title of that book?
Oddly enough, I don't, but do you know I have got a copy of it in my library, and I was reading it in the not-too-distant past. If I have to, I'll mail you my copy via UPS mail along with some other books at some point.
That's okay. I've actually probably got it around here somewhere. We've got 6,000 books in this house. I don't let go of books.
If big business wants to save itself, they better go back to Peter Drucker because they're going to kill themselves again, just like they did in the last Great Depression. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate your comments. Always good to hear from you. Back to AM radio here. We got this email from Kayla saying, you know, what's going on? We all these right wing and in our chat room. And if you want to drop in the chat room, say hi, meet the folks there. The regular fair number of regulars are dropping in, you know, every day or every couple days. And it's a little community that's forming. I think it's just absolutely wonderful. And I get a lot of great feedback and ideas and things from what's going on in the chat room while I'm on the air. Just go to TomHartmanShow.com. Pretty much however you spell that will get you to it, and that gets to the homepage of our radio program. And then click on the thing in the middle of the page that says click here to get to the chat room. And when you get into the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, click the chat button. One of the people in the chat room made the comment that his handle is former Rush fan, and that he used to be a Republican, and what turned him was listening to Glenn Beck on the radio, another one of these right wing guys who's a radio talk show host, and that Beck had just gotten so toxic that it caused him to wake up and realize that hey, this is strange stuff. I mean, this is not healthy for democracy, and that's very much it. I mean, there is an agenda that's being marched to. Now, some folks think that there's this grand conspiracy, and in fact there was a time when I figured it's got to be a conspiracy. I mean, you know, it all started, you know, Alan Berg was machine gunned to death. He was the liberal talk show host back in 86 out in Denver, and he was heard in 24 states, and that was the end of liberal talk radio. And then Rush came up in 87, and he was on 60 stations without a sponsor, and who was paying for that? And there's all this whole conspiracy theory out there, but I think that what really happened is, and yeah, I'm sure that, you know, there was a little help from their friends, as it were, but I think that what really happened is that right-wing talk radio emerged, and Rush Limbaugh is a very talented guy. You have to give him credit. He's a very talented guy in the radio. And, I mean, he started in radio at the age of 16 in his father's radio station. The guy had it in his blood. And he did a good job. And he got his message out there and developed a following. And so everybody said, hey, gee, talk radio. And they didn't realize that it was right-wing talk radio. That is to say, everybody knew he was a right-winger, but they thought that right-wing talk radio was talk radio. And so when people wanted to emulate his success, they said, well, where's other right wingers? And you got Ollie North, and you got Gordon Liddy, and you got Glenn Beck, and you got all these guys coming along, you know, Sean Hannity, all these guys who are kind of Rush Limbaugh wannabes coming into the field. And the conventional wisdom in the talk radio industry, and I have talked with radio station program directors all over this country, and I can tell you that a lot of them believe that nobody wants to listen to talk radio if it's not right wing. There's just this pervasive belief, because it's been successful for so many years, for over a decade, that talk radio is right wing talk. And when they do listenership studies, they call up people and say, what station are you listening to? You know, and they find that, you know, people who are listening to right wing talk are listening to right wing talk. And what has really happened, in my opinion, is that progressives or Democrats or liberals or middle of the road folks have given up on AM radio. They've gone to FM. They're listening to music. They're listening on the internet. They're listening on one of the stations that carries this network. But we're kind of a voice in the wilderness. We're not, you know, as large as Rush's show by any means. And so they've gone away. And the radio industry doesn't realize that there is this huge unserved market. Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman's program, has gone from a little show to 140 stations. This is on non-commercial radio just in the last year. I mean, just boom. And I think that what drove the popularity of Rush Limbaugh in the early 90s was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was the best gift to right-wing talk radio that could have happened. And I think that George W. is now driving an opportunity for left-wing talk radio or progressive talk radio in the United States, because increasingly we've been picking up about a station a week here with this program. And what is happening is it's bringing people back to AM radio, and it's bringing back the interest in AM radio. And I really believe that our time has come, and that the talk show hosts on this network and people of of this persuasion that there's going to be lots of opportunities out there. There's lots of stations experimenting with this. Gabe Hobbs, the vice president of for Talk of Clear Channel, in a lecture he gave at Talkers Magazine a couple of weeks ago that I attended, said that he was looking for a couple of general managers within the Clear Channel network to try putting some Democratic hosts on the air and talk about these things. So I think that the time has come, and if you're listening and you like this kind of radio, I encourage you to let your station know. Let your advertisers know. And if you're listening on the Internet or if you're listening on Sirius and you'd like to hear it on your local station, you go to our website at tomhartmanshow.com. You can click there and give us an email address, and we'll put you in contact with the folks at the network who can talk to your station. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number if you'd like to be on the program, 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in California is online. Billy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Billy.
So today's
great
the day
to have
I start
you
filling in my Arbitron little book.
Oh, are you one of the folks?
I am now.
Oh, incredible. That's great.
And here's the bad news. I can't put you down on there.
You're listening on the Internet?
I'm listening on the Internet, and they're not interested. So that's first of all. You know,
well, I read a thing in one of the industry trade publications a couple of weeks ago that said that Arbitron was actually starting to track Internet radio.
Well, when they called to recruit me, I told them that I listened on the Internet quite a bit, and could I write that down? They said, no, we're not interested in that at this time.
Yeah, you might want to check with them and see if that's changed just in the last
month. No, this is as of a week ago.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting.
And one other thing I want to talk about, left-wing versus right-wing radio. Well, first of all, if what you say is true, I wonder what happened to our friends Peter and Jolene.
Yeah, that's between them and IE America. I'm not
well
to that.
But let's open it up. I think the reason that the left-wing radio cannot succeed in America today is because if you're going to do effective lefty radio, what you end up having to do is, of course, attack the right. And by that I mean the right-wing Christians. And when you go after Christians in America, somebody calls up, you know, some boss, somebody who owns a station or a union leader and goes, my God, they've attacked my religion. And that's the one thing it seems people can't stand up against.
Well, Billy, I can tell you that, you know, I have, I've written a couple of books that are labeled New Age, and I've been accused of being, you know, all sorts of weird things by right-wing Christians. Mike is not a big fan of you know, it's, I don't think that this is the issue. That has nothing to do with why Peter's not.
Well,
here.
Tom, with all due respect, you are much too intellectual and mellow a fellow to really go after with the kind of feverish anger that the right wing goes after the left wing. You are not attacking the church on those levels, are you?
Well, I'm not trying to attack anybody, frankly, Billy. I want to have a reasonable conversation. But
that's not what the right wing does it?
Well, I think that one of the differences between Rush Limbaugh's show and Sean Hannity's show, for example, and one of the reasons why Limbaugh is more successful and more popular than Hannity or anybody else, is because with rare exceptions, he does largely keep to intellectual arguments, and he doesn't call names, and he doesn't go after people at a visceral level.
I'm sorry, seven Nazis is reasonable?
Well, you know, yeah, that's those are the rare exceptions. I think
my point is the entertaining part of what Rush Limbaugh does, the entertaining part, and that's important to be both entertaining and informative, is all based on cruelty and nastiness, and you can't be cruel and nasty towards the Christian church in this country and survive.
Yeah, well,
well, you know, because
okay.
Unless, well, then you
point
explain
noted
to me, where is Peter and Jolene?
Well, again, this is not that program.
I know this isn't, but I'm suggesting to you that's why they're gone. For some reason, that Peter was talking about the church and its relationship to Harry Potter.
Billy, I can tell you, you're off on a conspiracy theory that does, you know, that dog don't hunt. And
well, if
and,
it doesn't hunt, tell me then why he is gone.
Well, call the network and ask that. I am not.
My point is, I am
doing
it. And unless you have a counter argument, you have to accept mine.
Okay. I accept your argument as your argument, Billy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling in. This program, the Tom Hartman program, is my product, which I am distributing through the IE America Radio Network. And if you have questions or concerns about IE, contact them. If you want to talk to me about this program, call in. Love to hear from you. Bill King in Hoffman Estates posted on our message board. He said, "We complained at the beginning about the election results. The right-wing courts shot down our attempts to completely verify the results. We wanted a balanced budget. They raised the national debt ceiling by $1 trillion. We wanted the economy turned around and more jobs. They gave billions to the rich. We didn't want war. They started a war by lying to us. We wanted an answer about these lies. They blocked an investigation in Congress. We wanted the media to give us both sides. They gave us only one side. We wanted a diverse media. They ruled that media monopolies are okay. We wanted security. They gave us orange alerts and told us to go buy duct tape. There is nothing standing in their way. If something tries, they push it aside. They have the power." Kind of a bleak view there, Bill. I was just 3 days ago reading Martin Meyer's book, They Thought They Were Free. And this is such an extraordinary book. Martin Meyer was a Jewish guy in Germany during the 30s and the 40s and survived the Holocaust and wrote this book about his experience being, you know, alive throughout the rise of Hitler and how it just kind of crept up on them in so many ways, and about the extraordinary power and the danger of that power. And on the one hand, I've gotten so many emails and notes from people saying, you know, we're going the same way Nazi Germany did. I even wrote a piece about the parallels between Nazi Germany in the 30s and 1933 and the United States in 2002. It's called When Democracy Failed. If you go to commondreams.org and click on my name down in the lower right-hand corner, you'll get a list of the pieces that I wrote for them, and you can find it. But and as a result of that, I get these emails from folks saying, you know, we're going down the same road that the Germans did. We're, democracy is dead. We're going to crash and burn. And I think it's so important that we keep in mind that there is a huge distinction between the United States of America and the Nazis and Germany in the 1930s. And that huge distinction is that Germany had been living under kings for 1,000 years. They liked their kings. Democracy was imposed on them when they lost World War I. And they didn't have democratic traditions. You had people who were alive in Germany in the 1930s who remembered when they had kings and liked it. And they basically wanted a king back, and they got one. His name was Adolf Hitler. And Heil Hitler was simply an extension of Heil the King, Heil the Kaiser. This was not something weird to them. This was just the way things were always done. In the United States, on the other hand, we have a 227-year history, a tradition of, if not being democratic, certainly talking about it as if we were and believing it. We have the archetype. Yes, we've imperfectly acted it out in many cases, but we hold that. And that is what gives me hope. I look back at, for example, the Alien and Sedition Acts and John Adams' administration when he tried to pull a Patriot Act thing and throw his newspaper opponents in jail. He did it. And Thomas Jefferson came in and threw him out. And I am convinced, I really believe, that the next administration, the next Democratic administration, whether it's in 2004 or 2008, and I'm hoping it's going to be in 2004, are going to throw these bums out, roll these laws back, and restore democracy to the United States. I believe it is still possible. I don't think we have gone too far. But there are dangerous times that we're facing. Helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven
to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Good day, sunshine. Boy, is it warm here in the People's Republic of Vermont. It's pushing 85, 90 degrees in a bright, sunny day, and I hear it's pretty much the same all across the country. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. A new bumper sticker, according to one of the folks in our chat room. He says, "Redefeat Bush in 2004. That's great. The reputation of Halliburton, this from the Guardian of the UK. The reputation of Halliburton, the oil industry giant once run by Vice President Dick Cheney, took a new blow yesterday when it admitted one of its subsidiaries had paid millions of dollars to a Nigerian official in return for tax breaks. In other words, bribes. And then back on July 15th, this published by Newsweek, Halliburton current CEO David Lazar defended the firm's bookkeeping and said that former CEO Dick Cheney was aware of the firm's accounting methods, report Wall Street editor Alan Sloan and senior writer Johnny L. Roberts. So then we cut back to February of this year, and I quote, this is from The Hill, at the hill.com. Threats by Republicans to cut the GAO, General Accounting Office, budget influenced its decision to abandon a lawsuit against Vice President Dick Cheney, The Hill has learned. Sources familiar with high-level discussions at the GAO said Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, chairman of the Appropriations Committee, met with GAO Comptroller General David Walker earlier this year and, quote, unambiguously, end quote, pressured him to drop the suit or face cuts in his $440 million budget. And Walker yesterday confirmed that such threats were made. And so what happens then? Well, you know, Cheney's in deep, in hot water. So we find on August 5th, this is, you know, just before the October surprise, just before the September, well, let's go to war with Iraq. Harkin Energy, this is from Arianna Huffington's column, holding Dick Cheney accountable. She said, though Team Bush has had a day off last week in the space of 12 hours, it is revealed that both Harkin Energy, while President Bush was on its board, and Halliburton, while Vice President Dick Cheney was its CEO, had created subsidiary shell companies in offshore tax havens. During the number two's time as the company's number one, the number of Halliburton subsidiaries registered in tax-friendly locations ballooned from 9 to 44. The result? Their taxes dropped from $302 million in 1998 to less than zero. They got an $85 million rebate from the government. As this stuff comes up, what do? They take us to war. It sure did change the focus of our attention. You can protest this at MoveOn.org. Check out www.MoveOn.org. Thanks for joining us today on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen...